This is the Financial Exchange with Chuck Zotta and Mike Armstrong. Your exclusive look at business and financial news affecting your day, your city, your world. Stay informed and up to date about economic and market trends, plus breaking business news every day. This is the Financial Exchange with Chuck Zotta and Mike Armstrong.
Well, we've got a nice little big rally going on today. These days always make me happy.
Little or big?
It's a little big rally.
Make up your mind.
You know, you ever been to Little Bighorn? It's like that.
Got it.
We got the Dow up 455 points. The S&P is up 58. The NASDAQ's up 195. So we got just about everything moving in the right direction today. It's Chuck, Mike, and Tucker with you. Some other things that are happening in market world. We got the 10-year Treasury down to 1.52%. It's probably helping stocks a little. Oil continuing to rise, now up to $81.25 a barrel. Feels like it's been rising for the last month and a half. That's because it has. We've got gold up to $1,798 an ounce. Was over $1,800 briefly this morning, but getting a little bit of help from the weak dollar. And then crypto is crypto. Mike, where do you want to start this hour?
I was going to start with these Massachusetts-focused stories, but I don't know that we really need to. How about the transitory labor market? And
that feels good.
Yeah.
That feels good to me.
There. I think we can go there. We can come back to some of these Massachusetts-based stories.
So this is from Bloomberg this morning. The headline is, "These out-of-work Americans tell us job market turmoil is anything but transitory." So we've been using transitory a lot when we talk about inflation. But I don't know if anyone's really looked at the job market and said, hey, obviously there's a lot of competition for labor right now, but all of the churn that's happening, that's what I'm really interested in, is how long does that churn happen? Because I think we're going to have a strong labor market for a while, but the churn underneath, when does that start to stop?
Yeah. And when people talk about a really difficult labor market, I think, yes, there is a piece of that where they are having a tough time actually finding the employees, but there's another piece where they're just dealing with more quits than they have at any time, and dealing with more attempted hiring that they have at any point in time. Even, and if that, you know, if that attempted hiring is even 10% more difficult, then it really does compound itself. There are obviously more than one impact to the difficult labor market that we are seeing for employers right now. Obviously, throughout the whole pandemic, there were additional unemployment benefits. Those ended and the situation did not dramatically improve. You've got a situation where wages are far more competitive across different industries than they have been for decades. You want to say something, Chuck, so I'll shut up.
I do. I want to talk about the quits rate briefly.
Please.
I know we covered this probably a little bit on Tuesday.
Yep.
But I think it's important to note just how high this quits rate is. And what the quits rate measures, for anyone listening, it's what percentage of employees quit their job that month. Okay.
Crazy.
That's what it measures. Now, you would think, okay, that a high quits rate is bad. In fact, a high quits rate shows that employees have a lot of confidence to be able to quit their job and either find a new one or have enough money to not need a new one in the short term. So, just as an example, prior to the financial crisis in most of 2006, the quits rate in the country was about 2.2%, which means that on average, about 2.2% of people left their job each month. And so there's probably some overlap, but it meant that about a quarter of people in the country changed jobs in any given year.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Okay, yep. that's what we saw in what was a normal unhealthy economy.
Yeah,
because that was not a healthy one. It eventually went and fell over. When we went through the financial crisis, by August of 2009, so we're talking about a year after the fireworks really started hitting, the quits rate was down to 1.2% per month.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No one wanted to leave a job because they didn't know if there were any jobs out there. Everyone was scared, and the quits rate actually stayed below 2% per month until September of 2014. So when we talk about just how sluggish the economy was in 2010, 11, 12, employees were feeling it too. They were scared to quit because they didn't know if they'd be able to find something better. Today, for the last month, okay, and again, this is the last one that we have on record, August of this month, of this year rather, 2.9%. 2.9%. That's 30% higher than the rate we were seeing in the mid-2000s. But to put this in perspective, if you saw this every month, over a third of employees would be leaving their jobs every year
on an annual basis. That's
wild. It's almost too much churn.
And it honestly, doesn't it seem like there's possibility for it to go higher?
It does. It doesn't seem like this is something that's stopping. In fact, if you look at it, it's been accelerating at an increasing pace since April of last year when it bottomed. Again, everyone gets nervous during the middle of a recession. April of last year, quits rate went down to 1.6% because no one wanted to leave a job because they were nervous about what the future looked like. And now you've just got this quits rate that is just spiking upwards. And it's a sign that A, employees feel like they can find something better, and B, that they also feel the need to find something better, I think, because inflationary pressures are driving them.
Yeah. And I don't find this hugely surprising. The number of stories that we have covered and I have heard of employees at existing restaurants, warehouses, you know, everywhere that are looking at what they get paid and then seeing what the new employees that get hired are getting paid, because, you know, a lot of employers do the intelligent thing here and say, okay, I can't find anybody $15 an hour, so I need to raise everybody's wage to $18 an hour to get somebody in here. But a lot of people aren't doing that. They're just saying, no, the new employee's getting 18 and I'm going to still pay the old one 15 and hopefully nothing happens there. Guess what?
Bye-bye.
People talk, or they just go online and see how much you're offering on the job site. I mean, it's pretty easy to find out when you're working 40 hours a week with somebody who's making more than you.
Any other takeaways from this piece?
You know, I think the other piece that got called out here is that there are a ton of jobs out there, but not a ton of jobs that match up with what people are looking for. A lot of people have moved to different areas. A lot of people are still in charge of caring for elderly parents or kids that for whatever reason haven't returned to life as they know it. So I think that is still an impact to some degree. And then the other piece that we had mentioned earlier today, right? I mean, if you're being offered a job that pays even 15% more, but doesn't come with benefits and might not be full time, that sounds great when we talk about the statistics of jobs that are out there and the wages going up. But if that doesn't check the box for you, if you need a job with health insurance because you have kids, the higher wage doesn't do anything for you. And so I think that the answer to me is there is still more of an increase coming for a lot of the sector of the workforce, whether it comes in the way of wages or benefits.
Another story talking about labor market tightness. 10,000 unionized UAW workers for John Deere went on strike early this morning as they rejected a contract proposal from the company. Deere's going to have to bend on this.
Here's the quote from one of the workers, Chris Lorson, a worker at a John Deere plant in Ottumwa, Iowa, who was president of his local, the local there until recently. Quote, "We've never had the deck stacked in our advantage the way it is now."
Good for you, Chris.
I mean, that's the definition. Like,
they know.
Every union out there, and frankly, every employee out there knows that they can get a job elsewhere with higher pay and better benefits. And you need those employees right now. So I expect that, especially in these union cases, the additional benefits and pay that are going to be signed onto right now are going to be exorbitant. And by the way, we're all going to feel that in the prices we pay for, in this case, John Deere tractors.
And Larson, this is, again, not a direct quote, but things that he's talking about. He said, look, I saw that Deere made $6 billion last year in profit. I see that you've got high commodity prices and supply chain issues. You need us in order to fix this. And honestly, after multiple decades of workers just getting quite literally
steamrolled
and just crapped on by employers.
It's good to see.
I like the fact that they're strutting it a little bit. Yeah.
Might be bad for the stock market.
It might not be great for like
this. Feels good, doesn't it?
It might not be, but we don't manage the economy for the stock market.
Right.
You manage the economy so people can have enough money to put a roof over their head, pay for food, and maybe do something nice once in a while. And so for the first time in decades, I like the fact that workers can strut a little bit. It might cause some market issues down the road. It might cause some inflation issues. We get that. But you might as well take a chance to celebrate the fact that you've got a little leverage, and you should absolutely use it, because you don't know when you're getting another bite in an apple like this.
Oh, absolutely. These types of opportunities come once every few decades.
By the way, the deal that they turned down, just to give you a sense of what they are turning down, is a 5 to 6% bump in pay this year and 3% wage hikes for each of the next 3 years. So
I would agree. That's not enough.
No. Well, let me ask you this. You're the union negotiator. Okay. That's the deal you turned down. What are you asking for?
CPI plus three.
They're never going to give that.
I know.
They're never going. Here's what I'm asking for is as my final offer. 8 and 4 each year for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I was coming in at like 10 and 3, so we're in the same ballpark
Give me 8 this year and then 4 a year for the next 3 after that.
But I mean, really, you're that union, right? And you're seeing CPI come out at 5.5%. You better take 5.
No, you better give me more than that.
Yeah.
You better give me more than that. Let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the end of mortgage forbearance programs and what it means for foreclosures. We've also got trivia coming up after this.
This is your home for the latest business and financial news in New England and around the country. This is the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
As a business owner, we know the challenges of managing a budget during volatile economic times. So do the folks at Stony Brook Water. They've priced their water cooler so perfectly that signing up with them was a no-brainer because we knew it'd help save us money. Their lease deals are incredible, and the one we went with saved us 20% on our overall cost this year so far. Stop wasting money on cases of bottled water or those massive 5-gallon jugs that are so heavy to move. Provide your employees with a superior product and save significantly in the process. Like all of you who listen to the show, we are excited that the economy continues to get stronger, but so far, that hasn't made it easier to manage your budgets. Call Stony Brook Water today at 978-381-1476 and order your new Ion Cooler right now. They're sleek, lightweight, and will fit on any countertop. And most importantly, they'll deliver the purest, freshest water in every glass. That number again is 978-381-1476, or you can visit them online at stonybrookwater.com. Stony Brook Water, water the way it should be.
Join our text club by texting the word Barry to 63566. Send your first and last name and get involved today. You're listening to the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Trivia today is brought to you by Southern Airways Express. You can enjoy fall on Nantucket with Southern Airways Express. Book your flight today for a trip or long weekend, day trip or long weekend. Book it for any length of time, and you can have easy travel from Norwood, Providence, or New Bedford. Forget the ferry or Logan's hassles with high fares. The easiest way to Nantucket? It's on Southern Airways Express. Great service, low fares. Book today at iFlySouthern.com. Let's see what Matt crafted up today for our trivia question. What famous singer was born this week in 1947 and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the band that he was not a founding member of? Good question, actually. Good question. A little confusing, but good. What famous singer was born this week in 1947, meaning he's 74, don't know if he's still alive. Don't know. But was inducted.
Oh, he's alive.
Is he?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Just give away the answer, why don't you?
And was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of a band that he was not a founding member of. Text us the right answer at 63566. We'll do the third person with the right answer because that question is just a little confusing to read, and I don't know how many of you understood what I was saying. But the third person to text the right answer to 63566 gets a $50 gas card and entered to win a round trip ticket. Pair of round trip tickets actually to Nantucket on Southern Airways Express. Mike, we have a new leader in the worst headline of 2021 competition.
Foreclosures are surging.
They're surging now that COVID mortgage bailouts are ending, but they're still at low levels. That's literally the headline from CNBC.
Those are two complete opposite things. Okay, so yeah, they are 67% higher than the third quarter of 2020.
Gadzooks.
When there were, three foreclosures? How many do we have? Come on.
12.
CNBC, do better. Just do better.
So, yeah. So, in a normal month, you typically have had about 40,000 foreclosures per month. That was pre-pandemic. Foreclosures fell to as low as 3,000 to 4,000 a month in the first year of the pandemic. So, in the third quarter, the whole third quarter, mortgage lenders began the foreclosure process on 25,209 properties, meaning about 8,000 a month, which is still well below the 40,000 a month we were averaging previously. So when you say foreclosures are surging, That's equivalent to, like, that's like saying that, and
Mike was driving twice as fast out of the garage today.
Yeah.
He was doing 8 instead of 4.
We saw an ant that doubled its size in a day. Okay, now you just got a really big ant. Big deal. Like, what are we talking about here? So, yes, foreclosures are going up. They are still not a problem. And
they are still well below the normalcy that we were seeing in one of the healthiest economies prior to the pandemic that we've seen in a long time. 40,000 foreclosures a month prior to the pandemic.
Now we're seeing
8,000. 8,000 a month.
It's an 80% drop.
So we have a good story regarding foreclosures. There aren't any happening.
Yes. There are so many things to be concerned about in the world without having to make crap up.
Yeah.
There's plenty of stuff to be concerned about. Snakes. Right? You got snakes. We don't need to make it before foreclosure crisis if we've got snakes.
I hate snakes. One thing that I do want to talk to folks about that they don't need to be concerned about, that but they do need to be aware of, is the new monthly guide from the Armstrong Advisory Group. It's all about a timely subject, required minimum distributions. For a lot of you, you are probably receiving letters in the mail this week about taking distributions from your retirement account. Maybe you just turned 72 and this is your first time. Maybe you're turning 73 and they were waived last year so you didn't have to take one. Or maybe you don't know anything about required minimum distributions. It's time to learn a thing or two, especially if you are heading towards that magic age. Our guide out this month is all about retirement accounts and that specific IRS rule that makes you take money out of these retirement accounts on an increasing basis every year once you turn age 72. Not only what the rules state today, but we're going to go in this guide into, you know, potential changes that seem to be likely over the next few years to how these required minimum distributions work. But really important that you understand the rules, because if you mess this up, if you do not take your required distribution, the penalty can be as much as half of what you were supposed to take. So get your free guide on required minimum distributions. Understand not only, you know, how this all works, but how can they be an asset to you as part of your financial plan. You can call our office at 800-393-4001 and get your copy of the required minimum distribution guide out this month from the Armstrong Advisory Group. Again, that number is 800-393-4001, or you can download it today from armstrongadvisory.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Michael Armstrong, representative. Armstrong Advisory Group and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated.
This one's going to take a little time to work through, so we might have to carry this into our next segment. But there's an article in the Wall Street Journal with the headline, effort to bar tech companies from, quote, self-preferencing gains traction. First question, Mike, what are we talking about when it comes to self-preferencing?
Easiest example that I can think of here would be Amazon. Go on Amazon.com, search for AAA batteries, and tell me what the first result is.
Amazon Choice, or what is
Amazon
that what they're called?
Choice.
Yeah. Probably, brand.
Yeah, it's their Amazon-branded batteries. The same goes for a number of other different platforms in different ways. Facebook over the last few years has been preferencing positive stories about itself. If you go into the Apple App Store and search for certain video games, you're more likely to come up with a result that is Apple-based. And likewise, on the Google Play Store, you're likely to come up with those solutions.
Amazon Basics.
Amazon Basics. Thank you. Yes. If you go and look for a streaming platform on an Apple iPhone, my guess would be you're more likely to come up with Apple TV Plus than you would be with Netflix or Prime Video. And so that's what we're talking about here. We've been talking about it for, you know, quite some time in regards to Amazon, how, you know, their practice of learning everything they can about how a third-party seller operates on their platform, which ones are profitable, which ones are not, and then just basically ripping off the product. And this bill is designed to address, I think, the result, but not the underlying problem, but I think would make a meaningful change to, you know, how these tech companies behave.
So how do you do this effectively, though?
I think in some cases you have to ban the products. Like, you know, how do
that you... That doesn't feel good to me.
Yeah, I mean, how do you go about telling Amazon... How do you go about enforcing this on Amazon that, okay, you know, your basics product that now probably is the best seller on Amazon's website cannot be self-preferenced? Well, it's going to be tough to enforce. It's going to be tough to regulate. Others are probably easier. But in the case of, you know, the most logical one to go after, it's going to be difficult and convoluted to, you know, try and enforce this type of thing.
What bothers me is kind of what you're talking about. A, that in some cases you'd have to probably ban products from being sold, which just fundamentally seems to be un-American. Un-American, I'll go with.
Okay.
The second part is one of the major things that all companies are trying to do now is build their own dedicated brands. This is not unique to these companies. We got to talk more about this because there's more to dig into. Trivia answer coming up after the break as well.
The Financial Exchange is live on Facebook, so make sure to like our page and watch the guys break down the latest on the markets every day beginning at 10 on the Financial Exchange Radio Network. Financial news, business news, entertainment. If you don't think they all go together, you need to listen to our brand new podcast called Dumb Questions for Smart Money, presented by the Financial Exchange Radio Network. Subscribe today on Apple, Spotify, and all your favorite podcast apps.
The DAV 5K presented by Encore Boston Harbor is almost here. It's Saturday, November 6th from Fort Independence on Castle Island, and we'd love for you to join our team here at the Financial Exchange and finish in the fort. Help us support the Disabled American Veterans Department of Massachusetts and our great American heroes. Go to financialexchangeshow.com/DAV and sign up today.
Last segment, we asked a trivia question. That question was, what famous singer was born this week in 1947 and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of a band that he was not the founding member of? Who had the right answer?
What was the right answer?
Oh, Sammy Hagar.
There you go. Mike from Lakewood, Florida was the winning answer today. Congratulations, Mike. Tucker's not happy either with Mike.
Sammy Hagar sucks.
So he's not dead?
No, he's very much alive.
So someone from Van Halen died last year. Was it
Eddie Van Halen?
It was Eddie who died. Okay, I knew it was some. I couldn't remember what was going on.
Well, I'm sure that Mike from Lakewood, Florida, knew all those. And Lakewood, Florida. I hope you can get up here, and if you do win the tickets tomorrow to Nantucket, get to use them. But in either case, you're taking home a $50 gas card, and you're registered to win the pair of round trip tickets to Nantucket tomorrow on Southern Airways Express. Trivia is brought to you by Southern Airways Express. You can enjoy fall in Nantucket with Southern Airways Express. Book your flight today for a day trip, a long weekend, the rest of your life with easy travel from Norwood, Providence, or New Bedford. Forget the ferry or Logan's hassles and high fares. The easiest way to Nantucket is on Southern Airways Express. Great service, low fares. Book today at iFlySouthern.com.
Last segment, we were talking a little bit about this legislative effort to bar tech companies from self-preferencing, basically putting their products first in search rankings on their websites and platforms and apps and things like that.
The other good examples here would be anything that you search for on Google.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Like I search for a pair of jeans on Google, Google Shopping comes up first. I look for flights on Google, Google Flights comes up first instead of Kayak.
And the point that I get into is, okay, so let's say that Amazon Basics AAA batteries are the most popular batteries on Amazon right now. Where does Amazon get to list those? Because if you're doing it in order of popularity, they should still be first. Yeah. And generally, here's the thing, once something gets into a top spot, it typically maintains it because people don't like to scroll through 10 pages on websites. It's really the first three items on any page. That's where all the action is. Even if you have to scroll that mouse button just once, you're typically losing a ton of people. So I don't really know how that works. And to me, it all continues to come back to the fact that we don't want to deal with the actual problem, which is that these companies are too darn big.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're going to go the route on it, I mean, I think there's a compelling reason for why Amazon shouldn't be able to sell batteries on Amazon.com, because I think that they operated as a monopoly and, you know, ripped off all of the other battery makers on there. But if you're going to go that route, then you first need to prove the monopoly piece. You first need to prove that they employed business tactics that we as a society consider to be illegal,
and no one wants to do that.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, and they failed at doing it several times. They have failed to convince judges of that, and nobody wants to do that because it requires Congress to pass a bunch of complicated laws. I think that this, if passed as we're talking about right now, maybe it edges out some of Amazon's future growth and Facebook's and Google's future potential growth. But when you are already the largest tech companies in the world, it's not going to destroy your moat.
No, exactly. And the other thing that you get to on this is, okay, so you're not going to allow self-preferencing, but is there a certain size and scale of company? Because let's say that I'm shopping on a local grocery store's website. Are they not going to be allowed to list generics that they, you know, under their platform? And it gets really messy when the clear, bright line answer is break these companies up because they're too big and powerful. But that's just me. Okay. I always say that in order to make a frog omelet, you got to break some legs. But hey, what are you going to do?
What?
Where is that from?
What do you mean?
I've never heard of that in my life. What the hell are you talking about?
I know you've never heard it. It's probably the first time it's ever been said.
That's you just make that up right now?
I was thinking of it all segment for some reason.
In order to make a frog omelet, you got to break some
legs. You got to break some legs.
That is special.
Oh, God.
You ever eaten frog legs before?
Yeah, they're good.
They are. I've never had one.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
It's like soft shell crab. Not really.
Except not crab.
Not really.
No. It's like a fishy tasting chicken.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to put it, because I was making a joke that you
throw a little lime on there or something.
Okay, forget about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk a little bit about Uber making an acquisition here. They are completing an acquisition. They were in the process of buying the Boston-based alcohol delivery service known as Drizly. That deal closed yesterday, so Drizly is now 100% owned by Uber and is actually going to be featured on the Uber Eats app in addition to keeping its own separate app as well.
Did you guys ever use Drizly?
I never have.
I never did because it wasn't in my area.
So I was unaware of how it worked, and obviously, you know, alcohol laws across the country are a mixed bag of complexity, especially here in Massachusetts. But what I found is that they don't actually supply the drivers like Uber does. You know, the Uber drivers are contractors of Uber. In the case of Drizly, what they do, because the rules are so complicated, is that they just hook you up with liquor stores that are willing to deliver themselves. Which is a very different model than Uber's own model. Now, I would think that in a number of states, the eventual goal here is to just say, okay, Uber driver, go pick up the meal here and then go pick up the bottle of liquor or bottle of wine at the liquor store down the road and deliver all of that. But for a number of states, that's not going to be possible. But in either case, I mean, Uber has learned that the best performing segment of their business over the last 18 months has definitely been the food delivery segment.
Yep.
And this has just got to add to that bottom line if they go this route. It's a number of steps that just seem to be de-emphasizing the person delivery, the taxi cab replacement for Uber's business model. Because frankly, I just continue to think it doesn't work very well.
As part of this deal, Drizly is also spinning off a company called Lantern, which is its cannabis delivery marketplace. Why? Do you think there's a regulatory issue?
Federal laws. Yeah.
Regulatory issue?
Yeah, a nationwide company can't own a cannabis delivery company at this stage of the game.
And you know that it's probably a case where they would have loved to call that company Green Lantern, but probably ran into some copyright
Ryan Reynolds
issues.
Problems.
Yeah, probably some copyright and trademark issues. But
I would imagine that Ryan Reynolds wouldn't mind never being associated with Green Lantern ever again, in fact. So he might not have an issue with that one.
Well, it might not be him who has the problem, but the intellectual property owners that have the issue. But so Lantern
is
being spun off there as a they're getting a $40 million investment from their former parent company, and they are going to be flying solo moving forward.
Do you think I'm reading that correctly? I mean, am I right that Uber seems to be de-emphasizing the taxi cab portion of their business? I mean, I know it's always going to be a part of them.
Yeah.
And I do have very serious concerns about their ability to continue to grow the food delivery business because, quite frankly, the costs are so darn exorbitant for the restaurants. But man, it's where all the growth is coming from.
Yeah, it's a really tough business model to figure out how they can maintain growth, cost structure, and find a way to profitability all at the same time.
Yeah,
it feels like one of those has to give.
Yeah.
It's either, hey, your fees are going to have to be higher and your growth is going to get hit, or your fees are going to be lower and your profitability is going to get hit, or your cost, you know, it's just a really tough niche to be in. And it's strange to say that about a company that, what's their market cap now? 60, 70 billion?
I'm not sure.
You probably in that ballpark, right?
I continue to think that the other way that this model structures itself out is
88 billion.
they are more and more of the restaurants that have dine-in seating are not going to want to do business with Uber. Yeah, Uber is going to now specialize in the Wingstops, the pizza places, the Domino's, as well as
Domino's already does its own delivery.
Right. So Domino's isn't a good example here, but you know, the pizza shops, the wing places, the smaller, you know, Chinese food restaurants that, you know, all of us have done takeout from, and then the growing segment of ghost kitchens with no seating at all, I think, whether you like them or not, make a ton of sense for the delivery business model where there is no in-person seating. There are none of those costs. There are no waiters. There's no none of that. There's no none of that. That's terrible English. There's none of that.
There's no none of that.
There's none
There's
of that.
There's no none of nothing.
There's none of that cost structure, including, you know, that very expensive rent for high trafficked areas. So to me, that's where this food delivery segment is going.
And by the way, Uber stock this year is down almost 8% year to date.
Ooh.
So for all of the additional economic activity that's picking up and all of the additional movement for people, whether it's going back to work, going to on trips, just going into, you know, town to go to dinner.
Not helping Uber.
Uber has not been a beneficiary of that trend to this point. So I find that interesting just in the context of broader stock market moves. Article from CNN Business. This Halloween is going to be a blowout.
Yeah, it is.
Families are eager to get back to trick-or-treating. What are you going as for Halloween this year?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever I can find in my closet.
Tucker?
I haven't gotten that far. I know my kid is, we got a pumpkin, like, the old school classic pumpkin costume for my kid. I just don't know what
is
I'm
he to the
do.
Stage because we're to the stage where we just bring him to Spirit Halloween and they just like they're dying to kick us out of there by the time my they've stomped on all those little gadgets that sit on the door 30 million times.
Take him in that store. He's too young for that.
We're going as Frankenstein family.
Nice.
The our daughter just started walking and walks with her arms straight out. Nice. So we're kind of, we got a little baby Frankenstein costume.
You have the bolts coming out.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. So she's awesome. Going as baby Frankenstein.
But yeah, I mean, obviously last year was, it wasn't a complete dud of a Halloween, but you know, you had people shooting.
Was the milk dud of Halloween?
Yeah. We had people shooting candy through pipes. I think the typical. What? Remember the candy pipes?
No.
Yeah, people didn't want to get close to each other last year. So they had these giant, like 6 foot long pipes. And you would drop the candy in one end, it would come out the other end, and that's how you gave kids their candy on Halloween because you didn't want to get too close.
So it's kind of like the soup tubes.
Like the soup tubes.
But there's candy.
Are you serious? You don't remember this?
No. No.
This was a massive thing last year.
Tucker and I don't know it.
No, we threw a bowl on the deck, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, with candy in it or just a bowl?
Frog legs, actually.
Yeah. Free balls.
Yeah, we had frog omelets. No one wanted any.
That was the thing. That was a big thing.
Oh, I didn't know. Well, let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll do a little bit of stack roulette to find out what else we didn't know.
Business and financial news affecting the markets and your wallet. We got it all straight from Wall Street, right here on the Financial Exchange Radio Network.
Changes could be coming to the way we deal with required minimum distributions. Hi, this is Barry from the Armstrong Advisory Group, and these changes could have a major impact on your retirement plan. The federal government is currently implementing adjustments to the life expectancy factors that you use to calculate your required minimum distributions. There are also pending bills that would make other more drastic changes, such as amending the age at which you need to start taking RMDs, allowing RMD waivers for some depending on income, and reducing the penalty for failing to take RMDs. While these changes are not a sure thing yet, it's important to know what might be coming down the pike as you develop your retirement plan. Call us today at 800-393-4001 and get a copy of our new guide called Understanding RMDs. You can also download the guide right now at armstrongadvisory.com.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, and advisory services offered through Securities America Advisors Incorporated. Michael Armstrong, representative. Armstrong Advisory Group and the Securities America companies are unaffiliated.
We're finally back together, and now it's time to finish in the fort. The DAV 5K is Saturday, November 6th, and there are still bibs available. To register for this year's DAV 5K and support the Disabled American Veterans of Massachusetts, visit DAV5K.Boston. That's DAV5K.Boston. The DAV 5K is proudly presented by Encore Boston Harbor.
Time for a little bit of stack roulette. Mike, I'm going to kick it over to you to start things off.
Tesla getting a little bit of a reprimand from NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. basically asking them why they did not issue a recall last month. So last month, Tesla pushed out a software update to their autopilot to improve a pretty core function, its ability to spot stopped emergency vehicles such as police cars and fire trucks. Anybody that's followed this knows that a few different Teslas have crashed into basically parked emergency vehicles, I believe killing at least one officer.
Yep.
Seems like it would be a pretty important update that...
Just a little thing.
You know, like, again, it's not like they didn't address it. They pushed out a software update. But you need to actually upgrade your software if it actually is going to go through, as opposed to a recall where you, you know, in some cases can't be driving the vehicle until the upgrade is done there. This is, you know, a seemingly minor story, right? Like NHTSA issuing a warning to Tesla. But to me, it is an indication that, you know, Tesla continues to run itself as more of a tech company than they do a vehicle manufacturer.
Yep.
And that has been to their benefit in a lot of ways. They are valued at, what, like 10x General Motors, in spite of having way smaller yep. sales. But when it comes to issues like this, and I think facing additional scrutiny from regulators, it's going to continue to be problematic. It's going to continue to be problematic, would be my guess. And I am, you know, one of the people that is a huge proponent of, you know, this technology. It's one of the key factors that I'm going to look for in my next vehicle, because I've driven with it and I think it's amazing. But it's got real problems and kinks that are going to need to be worked out. And if they don't put safety first, which they haven't to this point, then I think they're going to continue to run into issues.
I'm going to talk a little bit about, this is off stack, so all right. I don't know if you saw this
or
not.
Let's go there.
Did either of you see the article from yesterday on CNBC on the hotel industry, and specifically from Barry Sternlicht?
No.
So, yeah, vaguely. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, so this one's just great. So Barry Sternlicht runs a company called Starwood Capital Group. Not the Starwood Hotels, but the group owns a number of these hotels. And he goes on CNBC and is saying that he's having trouble hiring. And I want to read some quotes to you. The whole service economy is in a crisis. Whether it's a restaurant, a pizzeria, a laundromat, a small shop, Amazon can raise wages, no problem, but mom and pop shops can't. It isn't even what we pay. They won't leave their house or whatever we're doing, and it's really hurting the underbelly of the U.S. economy. So he says, look, we can't hire enough. We can't compete with the Amazons of the world, and it's not about pay. Then, later in the same interview, he says, the government should actually pay people a bonus for going back to work, getting off federal programs and state programs, and then they should tax them because they have a job.
They're already off.
Okay, so a couple things. First, they're already off. Second, you'd said earlier in this that it was not about the pay, and now you're asking that instead of a private employer having to actually pay more and be responsible for compensating its employees, you want the federal government to pay your employees because you're too cheap to pay them yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
What the heck are you talking about here? This is just complete nonsense that makes no sense.
Sour grapes.
Furthermore, I'm going to say furthermore. Oh, all these small mom and pop places can't, you know, we can't keep pace.
Right, the companies that are backed by Starwood Capital, you're going to call yourself mom and pop?
Let me tell you, do you know how much Starwood Capital has in assets under management? $80 billion.
Yeah, just a couple just bucks.
$80 billion.
Listen, Chuck, just that's a Main all. Street mom and pop business looking for a little bit of assistance in this really rough and tumble economy.
So, help the small guy.
Yeah, I got, for the little coffee shop that, you know, has three employees and they're really trying to make it, a lot of sympathy. For Starwood Capital saying you need the federal government to subsidize your wages.
Please help us.
Get the heck out of here. Get the heck out of here. So that's what I had.
Yeah.
That Pissed is just off. One of the most infuriating. You say, oh, it's not about the wages, but the federal government should really pay people to get back to work. No, you pay people to get back to work. You own the company. You pay them.
I mean, does he have a point that, you know, Amazon is too big to compete with? Yeah.
Yeah,
like, sure. Amazon's basically a monopoly in a lot of different markets, and they are able to offer higher wages to their warehouse employees than anybody else because they're allowed to operate that monopoly. You have a point there. Everything else you just said is wildly inappropriate and just wrong.
So it's just Starwood Capital Group, by the way, has annual revenue of north of $1.2 billion. It's not, again, this is not a small company. When you have revenue of $1.2 billion, you're no longer a small company,
right? And you know, if you're so upset about this, do what Amazon does. Take your profits from one of your other businesses and sink it into one of your businesses that you need to grow in order to build your brand. That's what Amazon does. They invest all their profits from cloud into growing out this other business of theirs so that nobody can compete with them. And yeah, I think they're basically a monopoly and should be broken up, but really good business model.
There you go. Stocks are up, and it's fun. The Dow is up 476 points currently. The S&P is up 64. NASDAQ is up 224. So big, broad-based rally taking place this morning. Hopefully it continues for the afternoon. We will see you tomorrow on the Financial Exchange to wrap up another week.